Congratulations, you have made it all the way through the book of Ephesians, and today we are going to close out this wonderful, wonderful letter. And I'm going to ask that whenever you do find your place in Ephesians chapter 6, that whenever you find your spot, that you would stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the incredible Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, and I'm just going to read through verse 20, but we will look at verses 21 through 24 whenever we get into the message in just a few moments. Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Would you pray with me? God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just say thank you so much for this as one body, as one voice, Lord, to be that you have created, God, for us to be able to gather here as one body, as one voice, Lord, to be able to fellowship, to be able to worship, God, to be able to grow in discipleship. And Father, I just ask and pray today that you would strengthen us as a body. Father, as we read just this incredible word, Lord, that you wrote to these people so long ago, that Paul wrote to these people so long ago, God, we just ask and pray that you would allow these words, Lord, to impact our hearts and our minds and our lives today. Because, Father, we are in a battle, and we need the armor of God desperately. So, Father, help us today to simply see that we are facing, God, spiritual warfare every single day of our lives. And you have given us the armor to be able to stand firm among, God, the attacks of Satan that he brings our way. So, Father, help us not to take these words lightly today, but Father, help us, God, help myself to preach this, God, with boldness, and help us, Father, to take this in and to engage, God, these words, God, this truth that you have told us, God, that we, God, are called as believers in Christ to stand up against Satan and his evil schemes. Lord, did you know what we're facing, God, as a nation? Lord, you know what we're facing as a people and as a culture? And Lord, you know where we need to take a stand. So Father, help us to do that. Help us, God, to stand. God, I pray today that if there's anybody in this place that does not know you, that God is simply going through the motions, Lord, I ask and pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that you would awaken their hearts and that you would awaken their spirits, Lord, to newness of life, that you would transfer them today, Father, from death to life, from darkness to light. God, if there's anybody in this place today that is dealing with something that just simply needs to hear your voice, God, on anything that they might be facing in their life today, God, I just ask and pray that you would speak to them as well. God, that you would touch their hearts, that you would remind them that you are right there in the midst of whatever they are facing. God, you are good. We love you. Thank you so much for your incredible word that always speaks, that never returns void. We cannot do life without you, God. We love you, we love you, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this past summer, the theme for our Came Home camp was about the armor of God, and I have a picture that I want to show you. And our son Jude, he came home from camp, and he came downstairs, and he was wearing all of this, to which my wife Brittany said, "Jude, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you wearing?" And he said, "Mommy, I am wearing the armor of God." You see, all of us in this room, we need to wear the armor of God. We all need the armor of God. Why? Why do we need to wear the armor of God? Well, the Bible tells us this, that we are in a daily battle with Satan and his spiritual forces. Peter tells us this. Peter says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And another way of saying this verse is like this. Satan is your enemy, and he is looking for opportunities every single day to destroy you. He is looking for opportunities every single day to destroy your marriage. Satan is your enemy, and he is looking for opportunities every single day to destroy your family. You see, we need the armor of God because we are in a daily battle with Satan. And here's the question, church family, that I want us to ask and to answer this morning. And the question is this: how can we remain strong through spiritual warfare? How can we remain strong through spiritual warfare? In the battle, and you can write this down, in the battle, God is our strength. God is our strength. And before we get back into this text this morning, I want us to be reminded one last time about who Paul is writing to. By way of reminder, of course, he is writing to Christians, believers, who are living in Ephesus. And being a Christian in Ephesus during this time, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. You see, Ephesus was a very large and carnal city full of little gods. It was a culture that was riddled with materialism, sexual promiscuity, idolatry, things like demon worship. They even worshiped Caesar Augustus as Lord in Ephesus. The culture was opposed to Christianity, to the things of God in Ephesus. Greek gods were a big deal in Ephesus. The temple of the Roman goddess Artemis was in Ephesus, which at the time was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And these Christians in Ephesus, they needed to be reminded that the issues that they were facing, that they were spiritual issues. They were facing spiritual warfare. And guess what, church family? You and I are facing spiritual warfare as well. We are right in the middle of a spiritual battle every single day of our lives. Again, notice what Paul says in verses 10 and 11. He says, finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Another way of saying verse 11 is like this. Paul is saying, be strengthened in the Lord. Receive your strength from God. Paul is telling the Ephesian believers, in the middle of the culture that you are living in, he's saying, don't try to fight this battle on your own. He's telling them, receive your strength from God. And this has been Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers all along. At the very beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would know, in chapter 1, verse 9, He prayed that they would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. He also prayed in chapter 3 that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. You see, Paul had been telling them all along, I'm praying that you would understand the power of God. I'm praying that you would understand that you need the power of God. He is telling them, be strengthened with God's power. I'm praying that you would know the greatness of his power that is living inside of you. He's saying, receive your strength, the strength that you need every single day to fight this spiritual battle. He is telling them, receive your strength from God. I saw a quote this past week from the singer Mariah Carey, and she says this. She says, you really have to look inside yourself to find your own inner strength. And that's what the world says. The world says that our strength comes from ourselves. But guess what, church family? That's not what the Bible says about strength. The Bible says our strength comes from God. So what is all this telling us? This is telling us that in whatever battle that you are facing this morning, don't look internally to find your own inner strength. Look to God for strength. Why? Because your strength will fail. My strength will fail. But guess what? God's strength will never fail. Psalm 73, the psalmist says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Can we be reminded, church family, that in this battle that we are facing every single day, this battle that is spiritual in nature, that God is our strength, and He alone is whom we need to look to for strength, right? God is our strength. Next in the battle, we need to see this, that Satan is our enemy. Again, we are in a daily spiritual battle. You, myself, we as a church family, we are in a daily spiritual battle, and our enemy is this. Our enemy is Satan. Paul says in verses 11 and 12, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So again, what Paul is doing here is he is reminding the Ephesian believers who their enemy was. Ultimately, their enemy was Satan. He's saying to them that their battle was not a human battle. Again, what they are facing in Ephesus is a spiritual battle. You see, church family, your battle is not with your child. Your battle ultimately is not with your spouse or your in-laws or your neighbor or your coworker. Ultimately, your battle is not even with yourself, church family. The battles that we face every single day are all spiritual in nature, every single one of them. And we have to recognize that, church family. Again, Paul says in this text, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That word schemes is an interesting word. I would circle that or underline that in your Bible. The word schemes that Paul uses here is the Greek word methodia. It's where we get our English word method from. It means that Satan, he is using many different methods, many different schemes, many different tricks, many different ways to try and get you and I to fall. Again, our battle is with Satan and his schemes and his methods. He is planning against us. Satan is against you and I. And because of this, and you can write this down, because Satan is our enemy, and because Satan is constantly scheming after you and I every single day, write this down, we need God's armor. We need God's armor. Your family needs God's armor. Your children need the armor of God. Your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, they need the armor of God. Paul says in verses 11 and 13, and also in 14, notice what he says. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Look at verse 13. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Please notice that Paul wasn't telling the Ephesian believers that they had to fight. No, he was telling them that they had to stand strong. He was telling them that they had to resist, that they had to oppose the devil, not to fight him. In his commentary on Ephesians, Andrew Lincoln writes, the decisive victory has already been won by God in Christ. And the task of believers is not to win, but to stand. That is, to preserve. And believers are involved in the battle at all. So the call to readers to stand against the powers is also a reminder of their liberation from the tyranny of these powers. Let us be reminded, church family, that our God has already defeated Satan. He has already won. Our God is a warrior, and He is a warrior who always wins. He always wins. Exodus 15, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Guess what, church family? And He has won. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. And church family, the only way that we can stand strong against Satan's evil schemes is by wearing God's armor. And the first piece of armor that Paul lists out here is this. You can write this down. It's the belt of truth. It's the belt of truth. Verse 14, Paul says this, "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." What is that? Well, truth is the main idea here. And Paul says this. He says that we are to be fastened with the truth. The word fastened that Paul uses here, it's also translated as girded. It's the idea of wearing a tight-fitting girdle, not a loose-fitting girdle. You see, in war, a loose piece of clothing would not have been good for a soldier. And Paul is saying, if you want to stand firm against the devil, you have to have the truth close to you. He's saying, you have to understand the truth. He's saying, you cannot be loose or wishy-washy with the truth. What is the truth? Well, the truth is the gospel. The truth is Jesus Christ. And this carries the idea of being absolutely committed to and knowing the truth, keeping the truth of God close to you, close to your heart, understanding what God says. And you can boil the truth down to what God says in his holy and beautiful word. This is the truth. This is the truth. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, we see that Satan is the great deceiver. It tells us in Revelation 12, 9 that Satan is the one ultimately who has deceived the world. He is tricking the world with his methods, with his schemes, with his tactics. How do we know what is right and wrong when Satan says this or that or this? Church family, the truth is in the Word of God. How do we know what to believe about so many of the secular issues of the day? Guess what, church family? The truth is in the Word of God. You see, Satan, he has deceived the world to think differently than what God's truth says. And the only way that you and I can stand firm against Satan's schemes is to stand on the truth of God, to keep the truth of God close to our hearts. Because here's why. Because Satan will constantly play with your mind, telling you things that are contrary to the Word of God. So this morning, if you're hearing thoughts in your mind that are different from what God's word says, guess what? That is Satan trying to deceive you. That is Satan trying to trick you with his methods and with his schemes. That is Satan trying to pull you away from God's truth. You see, church family, if he can get you thinking or believing something that is contrary to the beautiful word of God, to the truth that is found in the word of God, all of a sudden, he has a foothold in your life. This is why we have to stay close to the truth. And the truth of God is only found in his word. The truth, the belt of truth. The next piece of armor that we see is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, verse 14, the second part, he says, "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And the breastplate of righteousness, it simply means doing the right thing. Making choices that are honoring to God, walking in integrity, living in uprightness, walking in holiness. One commentator said, "A lack of holiness leaves believers vulnerable to the great enemy of their souls." And Paul was basically saying here, if you want to stand firm against Satan and his schemes, he is saying, do the right thing. Live according to the word of God, even if it goes against your flesh. Live according to the word of God, even if it goes against the culture. Live according to the word of God, even if those in your social groups or your friendships are not living out the word of God. He is saying, walk in righteousness. You see, when you walk in righteousness, Satan, he cannot get a foothold in your life. Keep the truth close, he is saying. Put on righteousness. Do the right thing. Live in integrity. Walk according to the word of God. The next piece of armor that we see is the gospel of peace. Verse 15, he says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." What do proper shoes do for a soldier in battle? Well, they give a soldier a good foundation to stand on. And this verse carries the idea of being at peace with God because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. And believers are to stand firm on this wonderful truth. So it begs this question: how does one get this peace? If we're to stand firm on the gospel of peace, how does one get this peace? You see, the only way that one can have peace with God is by calling in faith on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, believing in his finished work on the cross, and by submitting your life to the lordship of Christ. That is the only way that you can have peace with God. The world will tell you that you can be good enough to have peace with God, or you can do this to have peace with God, but that's not what the Bible says. The only way that you can have peace with God, the only way that you can stand firm on having this peace with God is through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way. You see, if one refuses to do this through Jesus Christ, they cannot have peace with God. Rather, they are an enemy of God. That's simply what the Bible says. The Bible says this in Romans 5, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." From the wrath of God. He says, verse 10, "For if while we were enemies," there's that word, "we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." You see, now that we are reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ, now we can have peace with God. But again, it's only through his son. It's only through Jesus Christ. And when you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, that God is on your side. He's on your side. Paul goes on to say in just a few chapters later in Romans 8, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ with God." Church family, you want to stand firm against Satan? First and foremost, you have to receive the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ. Receive the gospel of peace. Next, the next piece of armor that we see in this text is this. It's the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Look at verse 16. Paul says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." And this verse is talking about having absolute trust in God, his word, and in his promises. It is essentially talking about having faith in God during times of temptation. That's what Paul is saying here. You know, church family, we often give into temptation. You know why we often give into temptation? The reason why we often give into temptation is because we do not believe, or we do not have the faith that God's ways are best. MacArthur said, "All sin comes when the victim falls to Satan's lies and promises of pleasure, rejecting the choice of obedience and blessing." And what Paul is basically saying here, he's saying, you want to stand strong against Satan's schemes? He's saying, then have faith that God's ways are the best. Whenever you are tempted by Satan, that's what he's saying. Whenever Satan is bringing temptations at you or with his schemes and with his methods, what Paul is saying here is stand firm. No. I resist those because I believe that God's truth, I believe that God's ways are so much greater than what Satan could offer me, than what the world could offer me. That's what Paul is saying here. Believe that God's ways are best. Have faith that God's ways are so much better than what Satan could possibly offer us through his methods and his temptations. The next piece of armor that we see here is the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. What's this verse talking about? Well, this verse is talking about standing firm in the assurance of one's salvation. And Satan often messes people up by causing them to doubt their salvation. And I've noticed this, that if Satan can get someone confused about their salvation, then he can send them down a path of doubt, down a path of fear, down a path of holiness. But what Paul ultimately is saying here is this, because he's writing to believers, he's writing to followers of Christ, and he is saying this, he is saying, stand firm in your salvation. Don't listen to Satan's lies and doubts about your salvation. And can I assure you, church family, this, if you mess up, if you are in Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. Listen to what Jesus himself says. Jesus himself says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So Paul is saying, he's saying, stand firm in your salvation. Believe that. Even when Satan is casting these doubts and these lies against you, saying, oh, you're not a follower of Christ. You're not truly saved. And Paul's saying, no. When you're in Christ and you've given your life to him and you're following him and you've submitted your life to his lordship and you believe that Christ is the way and he is the truth and he is the life and that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ and you receive that in your heart, no one can remove that from you. Not even yourself. So stand firm in your salvation, he is saying to all of us. And finally, the last piece of armor, and again, all these are important, but what an important piece of armor. It's the sword, and it is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? Again, Paul tells us, it's the Bible. It's the truth of God. It is the Word of God. And believer, can I just tell you from experience that we cannot... Again, I want to repeat myself. We cannot stand firm against Satan's schemes without the Word of God. You cannot. I cannot. We cannot stand firm against Satan's methods and his temptations without the beautiful Word of God. You see, the Word of God, it tells us so many things. The Word of God tells us that the way to salvation is only through Jesus Christ. When Satan has deceived the world by saying that there are many ways to God, and that's just not true. But the Word of God tells us that there's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. The Word of God tells you and I what is wrong. How do we know what is right? How do we know what is wrong when Satan comes and tempts us? The Word tells us what is right and wrong. You see, the Word of God will bring you peace. The Word of God will bring you joy. The Word of God will bring you fulfillment. The Word of God will bring you satisfaction. When Satan is tempting you with the stuff that this world can offer, the Word of God will guide you. When Satan is trying to confuse you, the Word of God will give you divine insight as to what you should believe about all of the issues that are facing our world today. The truth is in the Word. The truth is in the Word. The writer of Hebrews says the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's not a dead book. It's alive today, and it is powerful today. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Paul says, keep the truth close to you. Do the right thing by walking in righteousness. Stand on the gospel of peace by having peace with God only through Jesus Christ. Take up the shield of faith and believe that God's ways are better than Satan's temptations. Stand upon your salvation that cannot be taken from you. Use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And then lastly, how can we remain strong through spiritual warfare? And this is so important. I just encourage you to write this down. We stand strong through prayer. We stand strong through prayer. Again, Paul says in verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And notice in these few verses, or this one verse, how many times Paul says the word all. He says it four times in just a few short sentences. How and what should we pray every single day as we are battling spiritual warfare? All types of prayers. Praying at all times, as Paul says. In the Spirit, he says, which means to focus our lives and prayers on the will and glory of God. He says, with all perseverance, even if our prayers aren't being answered right away, we still persevere in prayer. He says, praying for the saints, praying that other believers would stand strong in God. We should pray all types of prayers. And lastly, we should pray this. We should pray for gospel boldness. We should pray for gospel boldness. Notice the request of Paul. Notice his request as we're closing out this section. He says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's be reminded, church family, who is writing this, who is asking for prayer. This is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest theologians and missionaries that Christianity has ever known. And he's writing all of this from a jail cell because of his faith. And notice what he's asking them. He's asking them, the Ephesian believers, he's saying, would you pray for me? As I am in jail for my faith, he's saying, would you pray for me that God will give me boldness to be able to proclaim the gospel as I ought to do so? And church family, if the Apostle Paul is praying for gospel boldness, then likewise, you and I should pray for gospel boldness. Just like he's praying here, we should pray for gospel boldness. God, give me the boldness to stand for you in my workplace. God, use me for your glory in my workplace. God, give me gospel boldness to stand for you in my neighborhood and in my social groups and among my friendships. God, give me gospel boldness to stand for you in my family. God, give me gospel boldness to stand for you in my school. That's a great prayer for us to pray every single day. God, use me for your glory. Whenever I go, as I go, God, give me boldness. Allow my light, allow your light to shine through me. Excuse me, and then notice what Paul says to close out this section. And I'll read it and just make one comment about it. Paul says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And in this last section of scripture, Paul uses a name that we don't know much about. And his name is Tychicus. And the only thing that we know about Tychicus is this, is that he was a servant of the gospel alongside Paul. That's all that we know about Tychicus. And I was thinking about this past week. What a great way to be remembered, right? What a great way. If someone was to simply just remember one thing about me, could they simply remember that I was a servant of the gospel? In just a few moments, we're going to close out this section. We're going to close out the book of Ephesians by taking and partaking of communion. And whenever we take communion in just a few moments, I want to take it with this in mind. That Christ is our great protector. Ultimately, who do we look to for protection from the enemy as we are living this out? Ultimately, we look to Christ and what he has done. Ultimately, we look to Christ and his finished work on the cross, the bread that we're getting ready to partake in. It represents the body of Christ that was broken for you and I. The juice that we're getting ready to partake in, it represents the blood of Christ that was shed for you and I. And I'm going to ask right now that you would just bow your heads for just a few moments. And the Bible says this about communion. The Bible says two things ultimately about it. It says that it's for the church. That it's for the church. And that it should only be taken by believers, for those who are looking to Christ. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. And again, I just want to say to you this morning that you can do that right from your seat. You can call on Jesus Christ to save you from the penalty of your sin. Why do you need to do that? Well, the Bible says this, that you are dead in your sin apart from Jesus Christ. That you need Jesus Christ to have your sin forgiven. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can do that right from your seat this morning. And I just want to encourage you by faith to call on Jesus Christ to save you. Do that right from your seat. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Believe in your heart that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sin. Confess Him as Lord and Savior, and then commit your life to follow Him the best that you know how. And the Bible says this, we just talked about it, that if you did that this morning, that you ultimately now, you have peace with God. God is on your side. Would you cry out to Him right now? And in just a few moments, whenever the elements come by, the Bible says this, that you can take freely of the elements. The Bible also tells this, that the communion should not be taken without repentance. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you need to repent of. Maybe it's a sin of some sort. I don't know. You fill in the blank. Maybe the Spirit of God is bringing something to your heart and to your mind. Would you just repent of that? Would you make that right with God right now? Maybe there's somebody in this room, or maybe you need to step out and make a phone call. I don't know. But you cannot take communion, the Bible says, unless you are right with God. Would you get right with Him right now? And just know this, that He loves you. He loves you. He's not up there with a hammer getting ready to knock you out or anything like that. He loves you. What we're getting ready to partake in, these elements, it reminds us of His great love. His forgiveness is a good thing. And maybe He's telling you about something this morning. Please know that that's a good thing. He's telling you because He loves you. He wants you to make that right. Would you make that right with God? He wants a restored relationship with you. God, we come before Your throne this morning, and we say thank You so much for this incredible text that reminds us that we are in a daily battle. That Satan is after us, that he is after our world, he is after our church, he is after our children, he is after us, and he would do whatever it takes to see us to fall. So God, this morning we recognize that we cannot do this on our own, that we look to God for strength, and we want to take up the armor of God, but ultimately we look to Jesus Christ, and we declare this morning that He is our great protector. He is our great protector. He protects us from the penalty of our sin, which we deserve. And today, we just simply want to say thank You so much for Christ and for what He has done, for His sacrifice, for His body that was broken, for His blood that was shed. Oh, we worship Christ. We give You the thanks and the glory. We love You, God. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. And in just a few moments, our men are going to walk around and they're going to pass out the elements. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pass out both of the elements. We're going to pass out the bread, and then we're also going to pass out the juice, of course, that represents the blood of Christ. And I'm going to ask that everyone would hold on to their elements until everyone gets both pieces, the bread and also the juice, and that you would wait until the very, very end. And at the very end, we'll all take it together. Maybe you have a child that's in this room this morning that's not a follower of Christ, and they're sitting with you. Hey, this is a great opportunity to teach them about what communion stands for. It's symbolic. It reminds us of the death of Christ, and we're simply thanking Him for what He has done for us. we come before your throne. And we say thank you so much for this incredible act that you've called us to participate in, this act that you instituted that simply reminds us of your body that was broken for our sin, your blood that was shed for our sin. And Father, today we just look to you today and we say thank you so much that you are our great protector. And you prove that because of the fact that you would allow your Son to come to this earth and to die on a cross for our sin. We look to you today, God. So God, help us as we live out as followers of Christ, as we live out the gospel every single day. Lord, help us, God, to take upon ourselves the armor of God, Lord, so that we can, God, stand firm against Satan and his evil schemes. But ultimately, Father, we look to you. We look to Christ. Christ is our great protector. He protects us. He protects us from the penalty of our sin. He protects us from our errors. He protects us, Father. We just say thank you so much for that. And this morning, God, we just come before your throne, and we want to say thank you so much for Jesus. We give you worship. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us. Thank you for the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We worship you. Church family, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet. And what I want us to do right now is just simply sing a song of worship back to God. It's a song that we sang just a few moments ago, and I just want you to give him honor. I just want to encourage us to give him worship, to give him praise, and to thank him that he is our great protector and that we look to him. I'm going to ask that our prayer team would come forward. And maybe you're in this place today and you need prayer. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you just want someone to grab a hold of you and just to link arms with you and just to pray with you and to pray over you in your situation. You receive prayer this morning. You give honor to him. You give worship to him as we stand and as we sing this song of worship.